Good morning and welcome to this service of worship. Wherever you are, whether it's in Harrachal, Ardnamurchan, Argyr, Strontain, Lough Allan, wherever it is, happy Mother's Day. It's a day when we celebrate the contribution of mothers to our families and to our communities. It's also a day when the church thinks about its mother church. Many years ago, people used to gather in their mother church on Mothering Sunday. It was a day when servants got a little bit of time off to go back and see their families. It's a day when we celebrate that relationship, that bond of love and care between a mother or a mother figure and their child. We're coming to worship God, to put aside some time and just reset our mindset, our spiritual mindset, so as to focus on God and the bigger things, the wider picture. So, as our call to worship, we come and we put time aside and we celebrate that God's love endures forever. From east and west, or in north or south, we will tell our story of the love and care of God for each of us. We cried to God in our trouble and he answered us in our distress. God sent out Jesus, healed the world and made possible the renewal of the relationship. Let us give thanks for God, for his unfailing love. Let us tell of his works and let us worship him.
Now let us draw near to our God in prayer. Creator God, we gather as witnesses to your glory, as bearers of your good news, as hopeful children, as loving friends, as a community seeking your wisdom. In a world of frustration and pain, we look to your guiding hand for support and strength and healing. Direct us and lead us as we walk through this life, attempting to live in the way to which you have called us. Forgiving God, Redeemer and Companion, we gather, we worship you hopefully and sorrowfully, comfortable and uncomfortable, carefree and troubled. To confess our love, to confess our adoration, to confess our failings, to confess that we try, to confess that we are greedy, to confess that we are generous, to confess that we are selfish, and to confess that we are caring. Though we live in a world where anger and hurt are commonplace, where neighbour is set against neighbour, and the future is uncertain, we look to your guiding hand for reassurance and understanding, for hope and for joy. As we walk through this life, attempting to live in the way to which you have called us. These are prayers. This, our worship, we offer to you, our God of love. Amen.
Reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. The Israelites have come out of Egypt and they're across the desert, and they're about to have an episode that they probably won't remember with much fondness. From Mount Hor, they set out by way of the Red Sea to go round the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents amongst the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole, and whenever the serpent bit someone, the person would look at the serpent of bronze and they would live. Amen. The second reading is taken from John, chapter 3, verses 14 through to 21. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Amen."
Where are you in the
Hello. Today is Mother's Day, so wherever you are, I wish you a very happy Mother's Day. You might not be a mother, you might be a father, you might be a grandparent. Whoever you are, if you're looking after children, I wish you a happy day. I hope you're spoilt rotten, especially after the year that we've just had. I wonder if being a stay-at-home mum or dad has been undervalued until this year. Until he started school, I was a stay-at-home mother for our son, and that was at times challenging enough. I can't imagine how parents cope with bundles of children or how teachers cope with classrooms full of them. How do you encourage, develop, nurture, care for children or adolescents who know better than you do how they're going to live their lives? They're continually pushing against the boundaries, boundaries that are there for their own good, until they are mature and capable enough to deal with the challenges that life throws at them. Now imagine there was a group of people who'd been kept under a strict authoritarian regime, told what to do all the time, and never given the opportunity to make their own decisions. Effectively, these are children in an adult format. They cry out for help, and eventually their prime carer, if you like, hears their cry and they're freed from the oppression and slavery and led away from their past, headed towards a new future in a land of milk and honey, one that they were promised. Wow! How would you expect these newly freed people to react and behave? After the initial joy and relief, they might be like children with new batteries spinning out of control. And so to establish some way of behaving, some way of living where everyone has the best chance to enjoy this new life, a framework or guidelines might have to be set in place. Anybody bringing up children knows there'll be rocky moments, but with the right boundaries in place, with that child receiving care and love and support that they deserve, surely calm will be restored and the child in their care will come to recognise the love that surrounds them. They will mature and grow and in turn become loving, caring, responsible adults. Well, you would think. The adult in charge might be able to relax a little, knowing that they had done their best to help those in their care, to see beyond individuality and beyond selfishness, to see that no one is an island. We're all social beings. We all have a worth and value. We all interact with each other. We all require community of some sort. As we mature, we realise that we are part of something bigger than ourselves and that we are dependent upon each other for our well-being. We require relationship with each other and with our maker. There's a pattern here. No matter an individual's biological age, there's a pattern of progression from infancy through adolescence to adulthood and hopefully maturity. Whether you're a father or a mother, anyone bringing up children, we ask God's blessing on you as you do this job. You deserve your treats, and on Father's Day too. But what's all of that got to do with the passages we read today? The ancient Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. They had no lives of their own, but were powerless under the strict authoritarian regime of Pharaoh and of that hierarchical society. Their cries for help had been answered by God, who found a leader from amongst them and who had led the people out of Egypt and into the desert on their way to the Promised Land, their home territory of Israel. But then the journey got a bit hard and the Israelites got grumpy. Like immature children, they started complaining and misbehaving. And so God, who had promised to look after this group, the Israelites, made a special covenant with them, set boundaries on their behaviour. These became known as the Ten Commandments, or Ten Words. Oh, excuse me, my dog, not very well behaved, despite my best efforts. The Israelite leader Moses was called up onto the mountain to receive these Ten Commandments, in writing, on tablets of stone, so there could be no mistake, no ambiguity. In this covenant and setting of boundaries, God was acting like the best, most loving parent. That's the best analogy we have. And yet the Israelites continued spinning out of control, grumbling, complaining, rebelling. They were hungry and thirsty, and they wanted to go home to Egypt. In verse 5 of that chapter in Numbers, we hear them saying, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food or water." And yet they then say, "We detest this miserable food." Conveniently, they forgot the hell on earth that Egypt had been for them. They were halfway home to the promised land by then, but that was of no consideration. Better the devil you know and all that stuff. After guiding them and protecting them and making sure there was food and water for them, God's response was to pull up the Israelites and discipline them, so the adults who had behaved like children would not be getting to the promised land, while their children would. The adults had decided, much like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that they knew best and they could ignore God. And then comes this strange passage with the snakes biting and killing people. Those who had been tempted to ignore the promises of God and to complain. Moses again intervenes and pleads for the people. God tells Moses to make a bronze snake and lift it on a pole. All those who looked at this bronze snake would be healed. The snake, the real snake, is temptation, it's death. But those who look at this image see beyond death and see the power of God beating death. It's hugely symbolic. Reject God's authority and you die, physically or spiritually, in some way, something inside of you will die. Look beyond yourself. Look to God and accept God's compassion and care and loving discipline, and you will live. Recently, a small group, including myself, have been rambling through Mark, taking time out and picking at the passages we don't understand. When reading Mark, we discovered that the book expressed a lot of urgency and a sense of having to make up one's mind as to who Jesus really was. There's a big challenge in Mark. Who do you think Jesus is? Was he really the promised one, the Messiah? The ancient Israelites before that were faced with the choice of believing God was big enough to look after them and to keep the covenant promises. Or not? Were they able to trust God in this? Israelites of Jesus' time were faced with the choice of believing that Jesus was God's Messiah, intervening as Moses did in that other passage on their behalf, and dying for them too, so that they could trust that God was bigger than they understood and would look after them beyond death. The famous verse of John's version of this good news is in chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Today too, each of us, each day, must decide who knows best what is for them. Do I have the emotional and spiritual maturity to trust that God knows better than I do what is best for me, not only now, but for the long term and into eternity? For myself, I do believe that God knows best. I need a relationship with God to help me through life, because I don't understand why things happen or what is the big picture, and so many other questions. But I am willing to live my life, trusting in the care and compassion of God, trusting the boundaries set by God, living, loving, caring, sharing in God's love, allowing that love to be shared through me to others, as was shown by Jesus, and it's all done in the power of the Spirit. One of the best ways to describe all of this is to think of God as the best parent there could possibly be. Think of any parent you know, guiding, caring, being compassionate. Would they lay down their lives for us? Their desire is for us to be the absolute best that we can be. Imagine going beyond our own experiences of being children or being parents and multiplying that who knows how many times. And we will perhaps only then start to realise just how much compassion and desire God has for us all. It's called love. God is love. That is at the root of all there is. That is the root of parenting. That is the root of being a mother, a father, a grandfather, a grandmother, an auntie, an uncle, anybody who looks after and cares for children. That love is rooted in God. So today, when you're caring for children, take time out. Thank God for that love that's being channeled through you. And take time out to enjoy the day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless. Amen.
Now we bring to our God our prayers for others and for ourselves. Let's pray. Loving God, as Moses prayed for your people, we gather together and bring to you our prayers. Look upon us with care and compassion. Shine your light on us, that we might live. Out of the darkness of fear, your people seek support and reassurance as the world continues to struggle with war, poverty, disease, and hate. With disease, we pray for all who are fearful, for all those wondering what tomorrow may bring. Help them to have hope. Embolden them and guide them. Grant us all the strength to be constant companions to those in need of your love. In a time of confusion and strife, when our communities and society are struggling to find a new purpose, a new way of caring for and loving one another, we pray for all those who are frustrated, those who desire a different, more peaceful world, more compassionate communities, and a more equal society. We pray for all those who are angry, for those who see and know injustice, but have little power to create change. We pray for all those who have been left behind in communities and a society of great wealth and education for some, and poverty and exclusion for others. Help them to have satisfaction and justice in your eternal love and understanding. And grant us the compassion, the strength to be constant companions to all those in need of your love. As our world changes, as our church continues to search for its place at the heart of our communities, we pray for those seeking wisdom, seeking a way forward, to carry your mission and spread your word and carry your love. Your love to the whole world. Help all to find new paths and reinvigorate what they have long known, and grant us all the strength to be constant companions to all those in need of your love. We bring to you our many and varied prayers. We bring to you our thoughts of tragedies of long ago and remembered. We bring to you the tragedies of this week. We bring to you our thoughts and our hopes for our broken, hurting world. We give thanks for one another, for all those with whom we share life and love. And on this Mothering Sunday, we pray for all who are mothers, for all who remember, for all who reflect upon all that motherhood is, for all who anticipate the joy of motherhood, for all who in different ways bring motherly love and care for others. To you, our God, the parent whose love goes beyond our earthly experience of motherly or fatherly love, we thank you that you are the one who journeys with us all our prayers. All our thoughts we offer to you, our God. Amen.
As Jesus gave himself for us, as God spends his energy or her energy on looking after us, loving us and caring for us, we too dedicate ourselves to God's cause. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that we might have life in him. And so we worship God. We are bathed in God's love and freely given grace. We offer ourselves, we offer our gifts and our talents as signs of our commitment, our continued commitment. We offer our money to the church and to the work that it does, ministering to others and to the community. Take these gifts, use them. Use them, Lord, for the good of your ever-coming and ever-present kingdom. Amen. Let's join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Where our world is hard and dry, your Holy Spirit, Lord, bring life. Loving Savior, we confess, trusting in your faithfulness, we have let our hearts grow cold. Save us from our sin and make us bold. Oh, hear our prayer. Oh, hear our prayer. Oh, hear our prayer. And the violence on our streets, Lord, let pain and sorrow cease. Prisoners held by fear, release. Heal the brokenhearted with your peace. Oh, we, your people, bear your name. Boldly now your love we claim. Knowing that our cry is heard, come forgive our sin and heal our world.
A blessing for this Mothering Sunday. Whoever you are, wherever you go, whatever your strengths, whatever your weaknesses, God will be with you to hold, to heal, to guide and to bless. Go then in peace, assured of God's love. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with you all and those you love, now and forever. Amen.